This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Weber has issues.
Todd's a great guy.
Place to Be Nation Pop. Welcome to a brand new podcast here on the Pop Feed. This is Weber Has Issues. This is going to be kind of a follow-up to my old-time column on placetobenation.com, where I look at brand new comics and whether they are easy to jump in and check out. I am, of course, the manager, Todd Weber. I received the nickname The Manager from my clients, the hard-traveling fanboys, who have over 3 years of weekly shows here on the Pop Feed. Check them out. But here, today, I'm talking about brand new comics. I like to call this a fifth week show. Of course, I do a weekly show with Russell Sellers, but on months that have 5 weeks, this is a show intended to fill the gap, because DC For You, which is a show that covers exclusively DC comics of any era, has a 4 week per month schedule. So on months that have 5 weeks, and that's where Weber Has Issues is here to fill the gap. And I am here to fill your gap, if you know what I mean. Today I'll be looking at three new Marvel Comics releases, all that dropped last week. So here we start with a look at Marvel's Epilogue. Now, Marvel's was a series that came out 25 years ago from Marvel Comics, of course, written by Kurt Busiek and beautifully painted by a man named Alex Ross. Marvel's was a different kind of look at the beginnings, the origins of the Marvel Universe, starting with the Golden Age and then proceeding to a street eye view of, say, the Silver Age of Marvel Comics, where you got characters like the Avengers and Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four, of course. But this is a special event that came out 25 years later. My goodness, that's quite a lag between issues. And it kind of puts a bow on the whole thing. Now, many of us already have collected editions of Marvel's. I have a nice hardcover set with some extra material, sketches by Alex Ross and notes from Kirk Busiek. So this is intended to add on to that and make you buy another hardcover. I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably just going to keep my digital edition of Marvel's Epilogue. And if I need to refer to it again, I will. But it is wonderful and beautiful. And even if you didn't read the original Marvels, you should check this out. Why? Well, first off, Alex Ross. Alex Ross painted artwork. You've seen him before on books like Kingdom Come and Justice. All the covers for Astro City, Earth X, Universe X. Just amazing work that we didn't know could be achieved in the early 90s. Alex Ross changed the game. He is doing very well selling commissions and continuing to do design work and have his own business selling just tremendous works of art, painted versions of superheroes. You should like Alex Ross on Facebook and you get to see all the stuff that he's up to. But his work here is consistent with his work on the original Marvel series. Marvel's, of course, follows the point of view character of photojournalist Phil Sheldon. And so this kind of picks up the pieces years later, where the new X-Men, that is the X-Men team who debuted in Giant Size X-Men number 1, 1975, quite a while ago, places Phil Sheldon at Rockefeller Center, and he encounters the new X-Men in a story where they battle the Sentinels. And this story actually occurred originally in X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, issue number 98, which is our good friend Tim Capel's, one of his personal favorite comics, which was originally drawn by Dave Cockrum, written by Chris Claremont, kind of the golden era of pre-John Byrne X-Men, which are stories you hear about on Conversation Comics with me and Tim. So this is an homage to that, places the character Phil Sheldon and his daughters squarely in that issue. There are also cameos in this version from Chris Claremont and Dave Cockrum themselves. The original issue had a cameo from original X-Men creators Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. So kind of keeping up that tradition. You know, we don't always like it on the Marvel Age show when creators such as Roy Thomas have themselves written into the series, but gosh darn it, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee were the architects of the original Marvel Universe. They deserved that shout out. I like that that tradition is here. And I should also speak about Marvel's epilogue. In the epilogue to Marvel's epilogue, I guess the back matter, you get some essays and interviews, and it's shown where Jack and Stan are in there, and along with Busiek and Ross talking about how this came about. And then you also get rough sketches or breakdown pages from Alex Ross. So $4.99 from Marvel. This is wonderful. I had quite a bit of nostalgia reading it, and I'd like to recommend it, even if you didn't read the original Marvel series. I should also talk about Kurt Busiek, how he is one of my favorite writers to come out of the mid-90s. Always did high-quality work, books like Avengers and Thunderbolts, and of course Astro City, his creator-owned book. He's a guy that I think should get a lot more work than he does. I mean, who out there from this era is better than Kurt Busiek? I mean, come on. If Dan Slott is writing books, why isn't Kurt Busiek writing a prestige Marvel title or a premier Marvel title or even DC at this point? So one of those guys I think gets short shrift in the great writers conversation, but always been one of my favorite writers. Before I forget, there's also a fantastic two-page spread at the end of this issue, the end of the story proper, drawn by Ross, where Phil kind of looks back and you see Marvel's recap. So it's definitely a nice ending chapter where it puts a fitting end to the Marvels series. There's also a cameo appearance from a new superhero at the time, character that was introduced at about the same time as X-Men 98. In fact, he had a coming soon in the bullpen bulletins area, and that's Nova. Nova shows up in all of his gold-helmeted splendor to help out and save the day, and that's kind of a nice touch. I know Ben Morse, formerly of Marvel.com and Place to Be Nation, he's the biggest Nova fan there is, and he gets a nice little debut, and it makes me think that big things are on the horizon for Mr. Nova, maybe in the MCU, and maybe Marvel giving him a push in general. Speaking of Marvel, the MCU, the second book I'm talking about is called The History of the Marvel Universe. This is a 6-issue limited series, and we're reviewing issue number 1, written, of course, by Mark Waid, drawn by Javier Rodriguez, inks by Alvaro Lopez, and covers by Steve McNiven. It is $4.99. I bought a hard copy. Actually, I bought hard copies of all the books I'm talking about, but they come with free digital codes. And I have kind of crossed the Rubicon. I prefer reading digital comics for their convenience on my iPad or my wife's iPad Pro. Yes, my wife has commandeered my beloved iPad Pro, but I still use it once in a while to read comics on. But this way, I get to still read them the way I prefer, digitally, and still support my local comic shops. I buy the hard copies, they come with a digital code, I punch it in on marvel.com, it shows up in my Comixology account, that's the way I do it. And I know these books will show up on Marvel Unlimited in 6 months, but I still like to financially support the projects I believe in. So I'm still buying books like everything Jason Aaron writes, such as Avengers, which we'll talk about in a second, and Thor, and the new Valkyrie book, also written by Jason Aaron. And, you know, when Marvel drops something like this that I think is important to support, I like to show my appreciation by purchasing it instead of just waiting for it to drop on Marvel Unlimited in 6 months. I know. If I was really trying to save money, I would just do Marvel Unlimited. Nonetheless, this is an interesting concept. This is kind of a response years later to DC's History of the DC Universe, or The History of DC Universe, I believe it's called, from 1986, written by Marv Wolfman, complete art by George Perez, one of my favorite things of all time. It was kind of a post-crisis wrap-up. It shows a streamlined DC continuity after Crisis on Infinite Earths totally messed with their history and consolidated it. Well, this is maybe the same thing, not following a major event or anything. It's just kind of setting up all the definitive histories of Marvel into one book. The conceit is, at the end of time, the end of this universe, there are only two living creatures left, and that's Galactus and Franklin Richards. Yes, that means Franklin Richards will not die anytime soon. Sorry about that. But Franklin and Galactus are getting their story straight, or Franklin is kind of like, I have to preserve all the information from this universe before we go into the next one, the end of an era. Galactus is dying here, and Galactus will presumably die at the end of this series. So Galactus tells Franklin the origins of the Marvel Universe, going way back to the Big Bang, the creation of the Infinity Gems, the creation of the Celestials, who are very important to the story of the Eternals, who we'll be hearing lots of here in the MCU in the next few years. Like I said, you get all the pantheons, you get all these immortal Marvel characters. Plus, you get Galactus' origin kind of definitively for here. We get kind of the Celestial seeding the worlds with powers, so you get the formations of the Skrulls, the Kree, the Shi'ar, the Asgardians. You also get the ancient Avengers, kind of the Year Zero Avengers, created by Jason Aaron and featured in the current Avengers story with Odin and the Starbrand and the original Black Panther, the Phoenix, Iron Fist, Agamotto, and Ghost Rider. There they are, all of them. Great story. And the art on this is pretty good, too. Tells the story. It's very contemporary. And you get more about how powers and rules and order of the Marvel Universe are set up. You follow the formation of magic on Earth and why Earth is so important. Why eventually they had so many superhumans. We get Fin Fang Foom. There we go. I said it right. He is not totally treated as a joke, even though he has his underpants here. We get the birth of Thanos and his substantially less interesting brother Eros. Lots of the Eternals. The story behind the Eternals' Unimind. We get kind of the tale of Kang and how he survived over all the years. We get the birth of Thor, who is not the child of Odin and Freya, but he's the child of Owen and Gaea, the Earth goddess. So, story that I didn't necessarily know. We get the medieval times with Merlin and the Black Knight. Lots of backstory on characters like the Destroyer, as seen in the first Thor film, Silver Surfer's origin, Mr. Sinister's origin, Belasco, the Hellfire Club. We kind of go all the way from the Big Bang up until the late 1800s, where you get the Marvel Westerns and, of course, Wolverine's birth. So it's putting everything in a definitive timeline, really captivating stuff, first half of the issue. And then the second half, or the back matter, as I like to call it, is annotations. And this shows you, well, where was this story told? And it gives you an issue reference number if you want to look it up and read that story on Marvel Universe. Using the original art, and then not links, but highlighted where that story was told. You get the Brood, the Watchers, just all kinds of Marvel backstories and how it all works. Setting it up, the Phoenix Force, lots and lots of stuff. Great art from the original creators. You know, they take a panel or a cover and place it into this annotation. So lots of Jack Kirby and classic Marvel artists throughout. Highest recommendation. I think this is essential. I think you're going to want to get the trade paperback, or at least bookmark it and save it in the Marvel U app, because this is tremendous stuff. This is essential if you want to really understand what's going on with the Marvel Universe. And so you definitely don't have to have any knowledge of Marvel beforehand. This definitely fits in the Weber Has Issues Paradigm. Check it out. I would highly recommend it, as I have said. The third issue I will be talking about is House of X from Jonathan Hickman and artist Pepe Larraz. This issue is $5.99. This is, again, a limited series. Has a companion series called Powers of X, which is actually called Powers of 10, using the Roman numeral X, but we're not going to talk about that one. We're talking about House of X, and this is kind of a relaunch, a line-wide relaunch of Marvel's X-Men franchise. They've been on the back burner for a long time. They kind of did a little house cleaning the last few months with so many mutants, a lot of mutants dying. This is relaunching and getting the X-Men's core concept redefined for a new era. And so we've got Professor X, who has teamed with the sentient island Krakoa and Magneto to set up a mutant utopia, not like Genosha, but more of a pure mutant paradise where only mutants are allowed to live. They can teleport from Krakoa to anywhere that has these seeds of Krakoa that have set up like embassies or teleportation points. You take the seed from Krakoa, you plant it. A little while later, it engulfs wherever it's been planted in organic matter, creates a portal, and the mutants can travel from Krakoa to these places. Krakoa, of course, is the island that walks like a man, first appeared in Giant Size X-Men by Len Wein and Dave Cockrum way back in 1975, bringing back that concept. I know they have done other things with the island since then. It initially was set up as a villain. Now they are treating it more like a sentient island that you don't really hear it talk necessarily or have it as a threat, but it's more a homeland, a living, breathing place where the mutants live and can be themselves, can not be discriminated against or terrorized. And we also get to see kind of the response from humanity. You don't see necessarily a whole lot of established superheroes save for the Fantastic Four. We do get a reference to S.W.O.R.D., kind of the space version of S.H.I.E.L.D., and a tease of Sentinels coming. And if you read the follow-up or the companion book called Powers of Ten, apparently you see a lot more of that story with the Sentinels, what eventually happens. So that it's very interesting to see what's going on with that. But I think you can just get along with reading House of X if you want. Quality-wise, it was definitely more of my liking than Powers of Ten, to be sure. But nice new storytelling direction for the X-Men, Xavier, Magneto. Don't have a lot of Wolverine in this issue. You do have a nice run from Cyclops. Kind of, apparently Cyclops was right. Magneto was right. Charles was right. They were all right. They've just kind of gotten together. Mutants aren't going to take any more shit. They are defining the terms for how humanity interacts with them. Apparently, mutants, X-Men are still going to be a force for good, where they go through and take care of mutant menaces around the world or bring them into Genosha, but to Krakoa. Interesting to see where all of this goes. Apparently, this story was pitched a few years ago. Hickman let it cool off. You would have thought that after Secret Wars, he could have done anything he wanted with Marvel, and this is where he wanted to take it. So after a few years of him just doing books from Image, he's back in Marvel and redefining the X-Men for the Marvel U. I really like this issue. I'm going to stick with it. Might be a little bit of heavy reading or heavy lifting for people who've never read a comic before, but if you like these characters or you have always wanted to check out the X-Men, this is what they're going to be for a while. So jump on board. I will be on. That is it for House of X. Check it out if you can. That about does it here for Weber Has Issues episode number one. Again, this will not be a frequent show, but on weeks that DC for You is not airing, we'll be putting this in its place. Follow Place to Be Nation on Facebook. Like our Place to Be Nation comics group. Join. We will let you in. You can talk about comics like this, comics that you used to read, or you have any questions. We've got a ton of people who know even more than me. I know it's hard to believe, but there are comics experts on staff or in the community that are even more well-versed in things like Marvel and DC. Don't forget, we have weekly comics content on Place to Be Nation Pop. We have DC4U and the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg and Nick. They talk about all kinds of different things. They're starting to launch a new feature on their show starting this week. Check out the latest episode dropping very soon to get in on the ground floor. We also have Marvel Age podcast, where we go year by year through the Marvel Universe. That's a great show. We just wrapped up 1971. We did three parts on that one. And even less frequently, we have Conversation Comics, my own show, where myself and my guest, Tim Capel, are going through issue by issue of the Claremont and Byrne Uncanny X-Men run. Come and check that out. That will be up and running again pretty soon. We have another episode that's mostly in the can, just waiting for a little bit of final content to wrap that episode up. It will be dropping soon, I promise. Tim, I promise. It's on me. I've been very busy. It's a busy life being a manager. We will see you in a few months with another episode of Weber Has Issues. Thanks for listening.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Come on,